And Eli and Katie are somewhere behind there. Oh, and the whole family.
Right. Can you say hello?
Hey, guys. Hello,
everybody. Hello.
Hello.
こんばんは。このビデオを通して皆さんと話してとても嬉しいです。よろしくお願いします。
Meaning we're really glad that we could talk to you through video and we're looking forward to everything tonight.
That's awesome. Well, we are so glad that you're here. And for everybody that is watching us tonight or those that are here, we do have some new folks in our church since the last time that you all were with us. And so they only know you by a name in a missionary list and a picture on a prayer letter or Facebook. So we want to just do a quick introduction for everybody. Now, of course, I've known Katie for a long time. We won't say how long, but it goes all the way back to freshman speech class in college. And we actually supported Katie to Japan before Eli came along. So why don't you guys just give us the short version of how the Lord put you in Japan from each of you.
Oh, okay. I was called to be a missionary to Japan when I was in college, right around the time that I met Ethan. And so I knew from actually at age 15 that I was going to be a missionary, just wasn't sure where. And while I was in school, there was a missionary that came from Japan to our school and spoke, and he talked about the great need for missions in Japan and that there was 99.9% people going to hell. There's less than 1%, about maybe 0.2% people that are considered Christians here. So I really felt a tug on my heart then and prayed about it. And eventually the Lord actually brought another student from the school who was half Japanese that began teaching me Japanese after I had specifically asked God to send me somebody from Japan to teach me Japanese. And she just randomly came up to me one day and said, I'd like to start meeting with you every week for lunch. And then I found out she was half Japanese and she started teaching me Japanese. And it really confirmed what I had been praying for about Japan. And as soon as college was over, I started looking for a mission board and then found a good one and started raising the support to come here. And it only took about a year and a half. And you guys were a huge part of that. And I'm very grateful that you guys have been with me from the very beginning. So I've been here for 11 years now and glad that after 5 years of being here, the Lord sent me a man to do the ministry with. And something I was praying for. And I had even prayed specifically that I would be able to marry somebody from my school. That was just something I wanted for some reason. And God answered my prayer miraculously after I had been on the field as a single missionary for 5 years. So you want to tell how you got here, honey?
Yeah, my story is a little bit different. I was... I worked in America as a probation officer, and I was in corrections, and I didn't have any kind of inkling about doing any kind of ministry, but every year I had vacation times, and I started to use those vacations for mission trips. I went to Ukraine 1 year, I went to Mexico another year, and then the third year I went to Japan with Katie's help. She helped me to plan a mission trip, and while I was here in Japan, that was about 2013, God called me to ministry and also to be a missionary in this country. So I came back to America. I left my job, or gave my job a notice. I sold all my stuff and I came over here as a student for 1 year. And then after that year, Katie and I got married, and we went on deputation. And then we came back here again in April of 2016, and we've been here ever since.
That's awesome. So that's neat to see how the Lord brought the two of you together. What now? I set you guys up. I see, Katie, you had to put the kids around the corner, and I was supposed to start with the family, and that's probably what you had planned. So you
that's
guys,
fine.
You,
got, let me grab Ellie real quick. So
there's a few more of you than last time you were here.
Yes, definitely. We had Mary when in the States, my oldest girl, and she was 6 months old when we came here together as a family. We got married and had a baby pretty soon after. Well, what was it, 11 months after?
Yeah.
Then we came here when she was 6 months old. And then Ellie, this is Penelope, but we call her Penelope Eloise, but we call her Ellie. You want to say hi, Ellie? Can we say hello? She's a year and a half old. And we had her here in Japan. And we are now expecting our third baby. We are 5 months long and due in May. And not sure if it's a boy or girl. Won't know till the baby comes. But we're excited about that as well. Can you get down? Okay.
All right. That is awesome. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the ministry. Everybody's probably gonna be curious about what COVID is like there and whatnot. But could you kind of, before we get there, could you catch us up to speed, Eli, with how God was leading your ministry, who you're working with there, up until kind of bring us up to everything up to COVID.
Yeah, so we came here. We're working with a small Japanese church called Takayama Bible Baptist Church. It's about 45 minutes west of the main center part of Tokyo. It's kind of like a suburb area of Tokyo.
Maybe I should mention real quick about how we got there. I'll just mention real quick how we got there. So before I met Eli, I was helping a missionary near my language school in central Japan, which is in the middle of the mountains. And I lived in a cabin with wild bear and boar and monkeys all around me. It's quite different from Tokyo. But that's where I lived first and went to language school. And after those 3 years in that language school, then I graduated and started praying about another church to possibly go help. And the Lord led me to Tokyo, which was, of course, much different than where I was before. Tokyo is the largest city in the world with 38 million. And I was offered a job on staff at a church here in Tokyo. So I took that job, and it was while I was there that Eli wrote me and asked if he could have assistance doing a mission trip. So that's kind of how we got to this church.
Yeah. So in 2016, we came back, and they accepted us to come here and to help them. And it's been a learning process for me. This is my first term here, so I've gone to some different language schools and spent a majority of my time learning language and learning about Japanese way of doing things here. And our plan is to basically just volunteer at this church, assist at what they need, teach an English class, like an English outreach ministry.
I do Sunday school with the kids.
Yeah, Katie does Sunday school with the kids, and I spend most of my time learning Japanese, and then anyone that I can minister to, I minister to. I'll meet with them and disciple them, or talk about spiritual things, or pray with them, or just, you know, help to encourage the pastor, just whatever kind of assistance that I can provide here, I do that. And so our goal was for the first term was to have me learn as much language as possible. And then for the second term, start with the church planning. So right now we're kind of in a transitionary period. And I'm actually meeting this weekend with the leadership here at this church to discuss plans about church planning. And we're praying about, there's a couple of cities next to us that don't have a Baptist church. But from the statistics that I've been looking at, the area that we're at, the north and west of us, there's, I would say, maybe total about 1 to 2 million people. And within these areas, there's about, I would say, 20 or so Baptist churches for that 2 million. or one to 2 million. And out of them, I don't know anything about what their doctrine is or things like that. Some of them are pretty good. Other ones, I just don't know. But there's a couple of cities around here that we've been praying about that don't have any kind of a church, let alone a Baptist church. And that's been our plan to go and start do a church plant in one of those areas.
I'll just mention real quick, too, when you talk about spending most time with the language, I don't know if you all know this, but Japanese is considered to be the hardest language in the world to learn for English speakers. So there's four levels of difficulty for different languages, and there's only three languages in the top level, and that's Chinese, Arabic, and Japanese. And Japanese in particular, they say, is hardest for English speakers to learn. So it does take a good amount of dedication, a good amount of time before you can really get a grasp of even what people are saying or be able to answer them back. So that's why he spent so much time on that. I'm just now getting to where I'm comfortable with it. I feel like after being here for 11 years, they say it usually takes a good 10 years to start really being comfortable with the language.
Yeah, I was going to ask what the normal length of time is to be comfortable. So 10 years. So that's
10 years is what most missionaries say, but I still have a lot to learn as I'm getting into different special fields, like having babies and things. There's a whole new set of words that I don't use in daily conversation that I have to learn. So every time we start getting into something else, there's always more to learn.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your ability or inclination to learning language as well, but I think that. If you do some research on the State Department website, it says something like 3,000 classroom hours.
Wow.
That you need to be able to learn Japanese. And I think I read it somewhere. It said that you can learn Spanish, French, and German and still have 1,000 hours left over before it takes.
You can be fluent in those three languages before you can be fluent in Japanese.
Well, that's that's good for the kids in here. We've got a good group of kids and teenagers in here. We've got both students and educators in here, but for the kids to do their homework and be good students, because God can use your schooling and prepare you for something that he has for you. So get an amen from the teachers, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. And it's important for us to all realize that that's the, when we partner with a missionary, our desire is for it to be a long-term partnership. And so the Giltners are putting in the really tedious work at the beginning and still ministering along the way. So we've got a ton of respect for that effort that the Lord is using in your life. So thank you.
And I still spend hours a day learning kanji. So
yeah, which does. Is the He's written very, language. Yeah, very dedicated. It's the language or the system that came over from China. So there's about 2,000 characters that are just used on a daily basis, like in newspapers and things like that. So they have three different writing systems. So the first two we know pretty well. The third one with the 2,000 characters takes quite a while to learn. Mm.
So that church there is a larger church for the area, I'm assuming, about 150 people, you said. Are there larger churches, or is that?
That is a pretty large church for Japan, much so.
The average church in Japan is about 30 people, so this one is considered very big.
So even if, with how many people in Tokyo? 34 million, 36
million.
38. So there could be 1,000 Bible believing churches, and it wouldn't be enough for the need there for ministry. So
they say in general, so just to give you a idea, that there's about 10,000 Protestant type churches that includes everything, like Methodist and Baptist and all these different kind of whatever you would consider Protestant, are they whatever they would classify as Protestant. And anyway, there's about 25,000 post offices in Japan. So they say to have basic coverage, you need to have one church for every post office.
So one more time, so 25,000 post offices, and how many potentially Bible-believing churches at the most?
Yeah, at the most, there might be, I don't know, 6,000 or 7,000, but I don't know what actual Bible believing churches are. Yeah, very, probably 1,000 or something like that.
Gotcha. So the need is enormous. Do you see missionaries coming? Is there, I mean, what is the, I know you're probably around people that are, they've been there for years. What are they saying about missions and the state of missions in Japan?
Yeah, so recently, or actually within the last 2 or 3 years, we've started Facebook groups and reached out to all like-minded missionaries that we could find here. And so far, we have found about 43 right now. But in Japan itself, there might be like 60. So I would say most of them are working with, or a lot of them are working with military churches and the military bases, and a lot of them are working with just other missionaries, but very few are actually working with Japanese churches or starting new churches.
These are like-minded independent Baptist missionaries that we're in a group with that we try to, Eli and I both have started, I've started a group for women, missionary women, and Eli started a group for missionary men. And so we keep in contact with quite a few of the missionaries around the country and what's going on, so we can know how to pray for them and everything. So.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. That's well, I don't have to tell you how important that is for missionaries to have connections like that and stay close. So.
But there, as far as people coming on the field go, there's been probably right now currently about 5 or 6 people that are raising support to come on the field. But the average stay, they say, is about 2 years. So we've seen some people come off the field too since we've been here. So.
Okay. Yeah, and right now they're saying that worldwide, missions is on the decline. And so American churches and all churches need to be praying for God for people to respond to God's tug on their heart. So, all right. How have things, have things changed for the ministries there because of the pandemic?
Well, yes, actually, there has been. So first, you know, about a year ago, just like everywhere else, there was, you know, lockdowns and lines for food and toilet paper, things like that. And a lot of the churches have just gone to online services. And then here recently, maybe about since summertime, there's been our church has allowed kind of the same thing that your church is doing with social distancing and masks to allow services to happen again. And they have some different rooms and things like that, so there's enough space to fit everybody. But they've really shifted a lot to doing a lot of online ministries. They do a lot of Facebook Live. And like Katie was saying before, during Christmas, there was about 500 people that watched the service, and that's just unreal. So a lot of people are tuning in to watch the church that would normally not come. And also there's just a lot of opportunity for internet ministry. Everybody here, it's probably the same way in America, is really glued to their smartphone. So about a year or two ago, we made a website that's in English, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean, because those are the main peoples that are here. And basically just kind of gave them information, gave them the gospel in their own language, and some videos that they could watch about God that we found on YouTube. And we've been really promoting that. We put it on back of our gospel tracks. And we still get out in the Tokyo area and put gospel tracts out into apartment complexes. And I've been doing that since we got here, and we're coming up to getting close to like 200,000 tracts put out. I mean, we've been really diligent about getting those tracts out.
It's just in the last few years, he does maybe about 1,000 a week. He really has been consistent at that.
Yeah, so.
So you personally do 1,000 a week?
1,000 a week. We just get basically a box of tracks, and I strap it. I have a folding bike, so I get my folding bike kind of all folded up and loaded up and onto the train. And then I go to different areas around Western Tokyo, because there's a very strong train network here. So I go to these areas and I undo my bike and I just go from apartment to apartment and put tracks out everywhere. And if there's anybody that I can talk to, I'll try to engage them in conversation. But the idea is just to get as much information out there as possible and to get as many people access to the website as possible. So out of the tracks that go out, if I put out 1,000, I'll probably get about 10 to 50 of those will be website views.
Really?
So we're always praying for those people to learn about God. And it's just planting seeds. I've read before that it takes about 7 times of hearing the gospel before someone is saved. So in Japan, there a lot of them are really, this is their first time or maybe second time introduced to the gospel. They have zero kind of knowledge.
Yeah, what is their
about
general
God or anything?
What is their, you go there and they know you're an American, you're a missionary, you're a Christian. What is the general person's reaction to that? Or idea of what you are.
Usually they're pretty friendly, but every once in a while, I'll get some hostile people. But really, really what I say to them is that, you know, I'm giving out a, this particular track that we use is about suicide, because the suicide is such a big deal here in Japan. And that's something that people really are concerned about and interested. So it talks about suicide and it talks about the gospel hope. And through that, I'm able to have contact with them and talk. But sometimes people just don't want it at all. And they're just, you know, angry about it. But that's usually pretty rare.
So, Katie, you said that you found people to be curious. And I know you've had open doors with your art over the years.
Lost you there. What did you say?
You mentioned that some people are curious. I was thinking, I was wondering if you'd expand on that. And then as a follow-up, for those that don't know, Katie is quite an accomplished artist, a trained artist. And so I know that's opened some ministry doors for you as well. So if she can't answer, that's fine. If not, that's okay too. It's 9 o'clock in the morning there for you guys?
Sorry that... It's kind of loud here. Sorry.
Well, it's first thing in the morning there, right? So you got...
Yes, it's 9 in the morning here on Thursday. So
yeah, so everybody's wide awake.
But, sorry, could you repeat that question again? It's kind of loud.
Well, I was just remembering that Katie has had some opportunities with her artwork to have some relationships with people and open doors for the gospel.
Yeah, we could tell you about some testimonies and different things about salvations in the last a year or two. Katie, more recently, has been homeschooling the children a lot, has been involved with them. So she hasn't had as much time to do artwork as she normally would do. But we still use her paintings and things like that to give out to people in track form. And the church here still uses this painting that she did about heaven and hell. But in the future, I imagine she'll be using your skills more in that way. But as far as testimonies go, we have a couple of interesting stories. You want to talk about Kihito first?
Yes, I was asked to take over a Bible study from a missionary that was leaving the country when I first came on staff at this church. And there were ladies from, I believe, 5 different countries that were represented at the Bible study. And so I did it bilingually in Japanese and English, because most of them did understand one of those 2 languages. And one of the ladies was a German lady who spoke English pretty well. And she was Catholic, and I began giving her the gospel, and I got to meet her family and started giving her family the gospel and praying for them. And she had a son that had a nervous breakdown and was really needing a lot of help, and she wanted me to talk to him. And so I was able to give him the gospel and start ministering to him, start praying for him. And then when my husband came, I kind of turned him over to my husband. And you want to tell from there?
Yeah, so we've known this guy for close to 5 years now, and he was what's called a hikikomori, which means he didn't leave his house. He didn't talk to anybody. He was just kind of sealed up. But over time, he started to get out of his house and started to volunteer and started to kind of recover. And we just kept talking to him about the gospel and sharing him different with him different things. And then more recently, he came to our church. And I connected him with the guy that I had led to the Lord years ago as an opportunity for him to do Bible study with somebody and share the gospel with them. Well, the guy that I've been or discipled a long time ago, Shinya, led this guy Kihito to the Lord, and has been trying to work with him. Of course, this guy has had lots of, you know, mental issues and things like that. He's been in and out of the hospital, but we still keep contact with him and send him articles and sermons and answer his questions.
He often comes to see Eli at the church. Eli studies at the church a lot, and so he'll come and ask his advice and talk to him about spiritual things and everything. So that was a huge answer prayer. And would you want to tell him another one about Dennis or...
Give me 1 second, guys. I want to see if I can get your video back. We lost your video. We still hear your audio, though. So if I can't get it, that'll be fine. We'll just keep going. But give me just a moment.
Right. Do you want us to keep talking about different testimonies? Or I know
just
the time
one.
Is...
I'll know pretty quickly here if we're going to keep this going or not. All right, we got you back, so go ahead.
Okay, another testimony is a guy I met here. His name is Dennis. He was a retired Navy guy and married to a Japanese family. Just started talking to him and gave him One Heartbeat Away book and started talking to him about spiritual things and praying for him. And he had basically a near-death experience where he almost died and he experienced hell. And it was a terrifying experience, and he came to the Lord after that, and I've been discipling him ever since and helping him to learn about the Bible and pray for his family's salvation. Another,
yeah, I get to lead him to the Lord.
Another one is a guy named Yoshida. He's an older guy that... used to be what's called a salaryman here, working full time, but he got kind of burned out and had some like a handicap, so he quit working. But he was standing by the church one day, and I started talking to him, and this is the time right when the masks were starting to run out, and I asked him if he had any masks, and he said no. So I went back home really quick, got him a few masks, and gave him some gospel tracts as well.
He hadn't been in the church. He was just standing outside, just like he was waiting for something.
Yeah. And then after that, he started coming to church, and he started to connect with some of the staff there, and they led him to the Lord, and he's been going to church ever since. And another story is Katie's going to tell about her
really
friend.
Quick, I'll talk about my friend Neil. I met many years ago in language school, and she was actually a Muslim girl from Malaysia. And I got to share the gospel with her one day, and I could tell like there was a struggle within her that she wanted to know more, but she obviously had a lot going on being a Muslim and everything. And I gave her my Bible to read, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed for her for the last, 6-7 years ago, I think I met her. So I had been praying for her for a long time. And just praying that she would read that Bible. And then just recently, she had some really hard difficulties. She tried to take her life. And I was, I heard about, she was hospitalized after attempt a suicide. And I reached out to her again and started sending her videos and verses and things like that, and was able to lead her to the Lord over the internet recently, right when she went back to Malaysia to see her family. And of course, Malaysia being a Islamic country, they're very much against her becoming a Christian. And then she started being persecuted by her family and actually had to go into hiding. And I was able to contact some Christians there that could help her. And she was just recently able to escape into a safe country. And where, because the police were starting to interrogate her. And if you know anything about Malaysia, basically the Christians there, many of them just disappear. All of a sudden, the secret police or somebody will come and just kidnap them and take them to a camp where they try to brainwash them or whatever. And if they don't comply, they eventually probably are killed unless they're able to escape. So she was getting close to being one of those victims and was able to escape just in time. So another contact that I made here in Japan, that was really an awesome thing.
So that's a number of long-term relationships with people that you were just faithful with, and the Lord did his work with them.
Long-term is takes usually a long time here in Japan, but sometimes we have surprises. Like yesterday, I went to my doctor's appointment, and all of a sudden, while the doctor's examining me, he just started asking me questions about, what do you do here as a missionary? What do you believe? Do you believe in evolution? What do you think happens after we die? And I was so shocked. But while he's examining me, I got to witness to him and the nurses. And, you know, they were just actually really patient and listening to me. I was really surprised, because normally this guy is pretty gruff and just kind of pushes me through the system. But was really questioning me yesterday, and I got to share. At the end, when I got through witnessing to them, I was able to give tracts to the doctors and the nurses, and they were so interested. I said, well, here, I have two different types of tracts. So I gave them all two different types of tracts, and they just were absorbing it. And, we're just so happy. And so next time I go, I can follow up with some of his questions and things and give him some material that
you have a captive audience there.
What's that?
You have a captive audience there.
Yeah, it was great. And then on the way home after that, there was an 80-year-old lady that asked me to sit up with her on the bus and wanted to talk. And turned out she was really lonely. Her husband's been in the hospital for 3 years. And she asked me to come over, and she took a tract as well. So, you know, God surprises us with these opportunities sometimes that end up being, you know, fruitful and something more than we could ever ask for.
Amen.
Well, because of COVID, pretty much every foreigner most foreigners have gone home. So we're a pretty rare sight in a lot of the areas that we go to. It's kind of unusual because before we were used to having foreigners everywhere. I could just pass out English tracts to people on the trains and stuff. Now I hardly ever see an English speaker. So but because of COVID, there's been a lot of people, you know, obviously they're at home and they're thinking about stuff, they're reading, and they're looking for answers. And the church here, they're with their ministries, they've had about eight people saved in the last year. And for Japanese, that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are people really thinking about God and
people are definitely more open since COVID. So we're really praising God for that.
Wow. Praise the Lord. We have just a couple of minutes left. I don't know if there's anything that I was going to see if anybody had a question or two, but I'll let you, if there's anything that you'd like to, anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about.
Just some prayer requests for some different people we've been witnessing to for a very long time. So one of them is one of my old teachers. His name is Yamamoto. And pray for his salvation. I've written him letters. I've given him tracts. I've talked with him a lot of different things. But he's getting older now, and he's like
84.
Yeah, he's like 84 years old, and his mind is starting to get worse. And so pray for him and his wife. Also, another friend of ours is Miyuki, that Katie has known for a very long time. Has been involved with different cults, and again, she's shared the gospel. We've shared the gospel with her many times and prayed with her and for her. And And also, more recently, one of our neighbors, her name is Arai. She's had some heart conditions, but she's actually been open to the gospel in recent times. So pray for her and her husband as well.
So it's Yamamoto, Miyuki, and Arai.
Mm-hmm. Arai, yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we will certainly pray for them. Does anybody in here have a question that they'd like to ask tonight, or something that your mind got thinking about something a little bit? Anybody at all? Don't have to have any, but just in case.
What's your favorite Japanese dish?
Oh, you got to have that question. Somebody's got to ask it. What do you, it's about the food. What's your favorite? What's your favorite dish?
Mine here is sushi. I've been craving it like crazy since I've been pregnant too. So we've had it pretty often, but yes, we do like raw fish and I do love sushi.
Yeah. To be honest with you, my tastes have changed a lot since I first came here. There are just things that I wouldn't eat. And then now over time, you know, I just like certain things, but I like what's called sashimi. It's just a sushi without the rice. It's just the fish itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very hip here in America too. So I try my best, but I can't get on board with it. But maybe if I were in Japan, then I'd have to. All right. Anything else before we go tonight? No. All right. Well, let's have prayer together. We'd like to pray for you all and your family and your ministry. Before we say goodbye tonight. And thank you so much for spending this time with us. We love you guys, and we really appreciate you and how the Lord's using you. So let's...
We appreciate you guys, too. I was telling Ethan, we think about you guys a lot and pray for you guys, and we really love your church, and so we're grateful for the ministry that you're doing there.
Can I leave with you one verse?
Yes, sir.
That is one that applies to all of us and in America and Japan, everywhere during COVID. And that is just Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Mm. So all of us are starting to get really tired. We're getting weighed down by being on lockdown and dealing with COVID and wearing masks and all the attitudes and stuff that's going on in social media. But now is a prime time. People are watching and people are ready to learn about God. So we can reap if we don't get weary in well-doing.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the time that we've shared tonight. And God, we thank you that your grace and your power are at work both here among us here in Massachusetts and also with the Giltners in Japan. I want to pray for Eli and Katie and their family. I pray, Lord, that you would just use them in a mighty way. I pray that you'd encourage them and strengthen them. I pray that you'd fill them with your spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd meet all of their needs emotionally and physically and financially. We pray that you'd give them a strong home and family and to just continue to strengthen their burden for the people that they minister to there. We pray, Lord, for you to guide their church and this new step of planting a church. I pray that both the leadership in the church and Eli and Katie, that they'd be sensitive to how you're leading them. And they'd follow faithfully and boldly. I pray for these three people, Yamamoto and Miyuki and Arai. Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to their hearts and show them how much you love them and how much they need you. And so we pray for their salvation. And Lord, we just pray that you, again, would sustain this ministry, that you would give them your power and your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for being with us. You take care.
You too.
God bless.